Welcome to The Word at First Pres. The sermon you're about to hear is not part of a regular sermon series. It stands on its own and can be instructive to our Christian faith in its own way, even though it's not linked to other sermons. I hope you enjoy.
Our first scripture reading today is from Philippians 1:1-7. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. The word of the Lord.
Today is the last in my series of prayer, as Judy intimated. Assuming that two is a series, I'm calling it a series because two is all you want to hear from me. You want to get Alex back. I totally get it, but it's good to be here. This series is on prayer. Last time, if you were here and remember, we talked about our side of prayer. I define prayer as the direct communication of our human soul with the one who created the human soul. And I suggested that this Bailey number 7 wood plane was a metaphor for prayer. Like this Bailey number 7, prayer is a tool. Actually, prayer is a spiritual discipline. And it's hard. It is hard and important work. The primary purpose of this plane is to true a piece of wood so that it can be joined with another. And I would suggest to you that that's the purpose of prayer, is to true ourselves so that we can be better connected with God. Our side of prayer is planing away the stuff that keeps us from being close, from being vulnerable, from having a meaningful and close relationship with God. Our side of prayer demands regular, daily, disciplined attention to clearing away anything that keeps us from connecting, I mean really connecting with God. Today we're going to talk about God's side of prayer. I needed a schematic, I brought it, to put all the pieces together once I found them in this box. But the Bible presents to us the schematic that we need for prayer. And there's hundreds of allusions to what our prayer life should be like. I'd like to turn to one of those. It's from 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 14. Let us listen to one of the instructions for prayer. And this is the boldness we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Now, I'm going to pass this Bailey number 7 around. I couldn't share it with you last week, but today I can do that with you. So pray with me. God, whoever you are, help us to connect to you more intimately in these moments that we have to share together. We pray this in your name. Amen. So a couple of weeks ago, we were on a family vacation to Hilton Head. It was one of those family gatherings that takes an incredible amount of logistic planning. I know you probably have done this with your families, to find a common week that works for working parents and for overbooked grandchildren. More than the logistics were the feelings. You know, this was a big deal for Susie, my wife, and me. We had all these expectations. We had big hopes. I mean, really big hopes that everyone would get along, that we'd have fun, and every night we would hold hands and sing Kumbaya. By the way, I noticed we're going to do that at the end of this service. That was very, very good planning by whoever did that. Oh, and that every day our family would be grateful that Mom and Dad were paying for everything. So on the third night that we were there, Susie woke me in the middle of the night and said, "I think you have to test again. You're hacking. You're not sounding good." You see, we'd all tested ahead of time, a couple of days. We'd all been negative. Isn't it a strange world we live in that we just can't get together without having to have COVID tests? I had had COVID. I'd taken Paxlovid. I had tested negative for many days. Hey, you know where I'm going with this. I thought it was clear. I tested, and I prayed to God, God, the great physician, please, God, make me negative. This is a big week for me. Well, what do you guess? Results were positive. I was really angry. You see, just between you and me, I'm a professional prayer. For decades, like Judy and Ken Hockenberry and Paul Palmer, who's here, you know, we got paid to pray. Shouldn't my prayer have cut in the front of the line a little bit to the to the great physician? I'd already paid my COVID dues. Come on, God. I ask myself, what kind of a God am I praying to? Now, I'm assuming that you pray. You already have here a couple of times. And especially since we last met, I gave you an assignment, and that is to work on the discipline of your prayer, to take prayer seriously, I mean really seriously. So I assume that you've been praying, really praying. Remember, prayer is a daily discipline. It's hard work. Apparently, my prayer to God, the great physician, didn't work so well. So let me ask you, what kind of God are you praying to? Is it a better God than the God that I was praying to? So I quarantined from my family. Fortunately, we had a big house. Ha! I got the master suite. Because it went outside. I never went into the inside of the house the rest of the vacation. Susie, my wife, had to sleep on an air mattress somewhere. I prayed a lot about the fairness of that. So I prayed to the God of justice, noting to the God of justice that it was going to be a long drive home with my wife. So I was feeling sorry for myself, so I turned to the news on my iPad. Oh no! Joe Biden, our president, had COVID rebound just like me. Now, he's a good Catholic. Even the president's prayer didn't get on the plus side of God, the great physician. So I did some more reading of the news that same day. I learned of the tragic flooding in Kentucky. Adults and even children, as you know, had been washed away to their death. I prayed some more, this time to the God of justice again, because Isn't that what we do when there's a tragedy? We pray. And besides, in part, the governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear, said, quote, "Tonight we need your continued prayers for the people of eastern Kentucky. This is an ongoing disaster with more rain expected tonight that could worsen the situation," unquote. And so I prayed. I prayed to the God of all creation to stop this disaster. But as we speak today, it's still raining in Kentucky, and bodies are still being found. God, the great physician, God, the God of justice, the God of all creation, my prayers seem to be following short. How do we pray to the creator of the human soul if we don't hold on to some image of the God to whom we are praying? What does the God that we're praying look like? Well, beware. This is a slippery slope. So remember Moses, who, after his encounter with the divine up on that mountain coming down with those tablets, he finds the Israelites having a Burning Man party in which they created a golden image of God. Their image was a calf. Now, if those Israelites had only Googled images of God like I did on my iPad, they would have found a site titled Images of God. You can do it, not now. Images of God had 1,744,902 stock photos of the image of God. Actually, I was disappointed. I thought it would be an infinite number, wouldn't you think? That's just a joke. But let me ask you, what's your image? What's your stock photo of God? What does the God that you're praying to look like? Well, for some, it's a gray-bearded old guy sitting on a throne. You know, that's the God of the high king and of ultimate power. This God sits in judgment on all humankind. There's two lines. There's the line for those who don't sin, and there's the line for those who do sin. There are zero in one line. And the other line makes TSA lines look really short, because you and I are in that line. That's the sinner's line. Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus teach us to pray to God the Father? That's it. Wait a minute. I told you this was a slippery slope. Some of us were blessed with a loving Father, a caring, nurturing, forgiving, and fair Father. Some of us, not so much. And does God mean male? Well, I'm not dealing with that today, other than to say that I think we can also picture a female who's just as worthy of the prayer as a male. Actually, I'm asking Ken Hockenberry to preach on this topic next week. Maybe Father is just a Hebrew code word to get us focused on the divine, the one who created our human soul. So you see, God's side of prayer is a little bit more challenging. You know, there's some modern images that I've heard some of my friends talk about, like the God of the ultimate Amazon fulfillment center. You pray like I did that my COVID test is going to show up on my front porch the next morning. Only the swoop on the truck doesn't go A to Z, it goes A to infinity because it's God's delivery truck. But if the package that we ordered doesn't show up on our front porch, we conclude there is no fulfillment God. And I can tell you, friends, there are people that give up on God because they don't get on their front porch what they pray for. You know, there's a bunch of other contemporary images of God. What about the James Webb Awesome Telescope God? Have you seen some of those pictures of the universe? Wow. Well, that's where our prayer goes deep, into the infinite space. Our prayer just keeps going and going and going and going, never to be answered. Or I have some friends who believe in the constant contact LinkedIn God. That would be our resource God. Or how about the Mr. or Ms. Fix-It God? Remember, there are at least 1,744,902 images of God for us to choose. But here's the problem, at least for me, is that the image that I mostly choose of God is the one that fits my needs, my expectations. I create the image of God that I want. That isn't God's side of prayer. It's my projection of the God that I want on God's side of prayer. So what is on the other side of our prayers? Well, just like I had to figure out all the pieces and I had to use this schematic to put together that Bailey that is moving around the sanctuary, to put them together, to make whole. The Bible, I think, is our schematic that best describes the God to whom we are praying. And that's why it takes a little work, because you have to go through the schematic to understand the God that's on the other side of prayer. Maybe we need to start, and I don't know who wrote the prayer of confession that you read, but it was perfect. Maybe we need to start with the words of the psalmist in Psalm 46:10 that says, "Be still, be still, and know that I am God." Still means to clear our heads, our souls, our true inner being, so that we can be joined more intimately with God. Well, being honest with you, still, if any of you know me, doesn't fit my personality very well. I want results. I want my results. And I want my results now. But when we're still, we begin to sense the incredible attributes of God, the classic attributes of omniscience, the all-knowing, omnipotence, the all-powerful, the omnibenevolent, the supremely good God. What if our image of God impairs our prayer life, hinders us from connecting with the soul of the creator of souls? So for me, I can only speak for myself, of course, I've learned that the best I can do is to trust and pray to the attributes of God that I see repeatedly in this schematic called Scripture, and as it was lived out in the life, in the ministry of Jesus. So I pray to the God who is wise, who's faithful, who's just, who's merciful, who's gracious and loving. So my prayer for a negative COVID test was selfish. A better prayer would have been, God, thank you for my family and this chance to be together. My prayer for the people of Eastern Kentucky could have been, yes, God, natural disasters happen, but I entrust life and even death to you. Maybe the best we can do is to entrust our soul, our relationships, our concerns, the issues of our life, the stuff that's going on around us, maybe the best that we can do is to entrust that to the will of God, which may or may not be understood, and which may or may not agree with my own personal opinions. God's side of prayer, perhaps, is the welcoming of our surrendered soul into God's faithful, just, merciful, gracious, and loving presence. Maybe prayer isn't so much about outcome as it is about relationship. The Bible schematic commands us to pray, but in so doing, it tells us that we are to love God with what? With all our mind, with all our soul, with all our being. And what else are we to do? We're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. When I feel loved, for example, even the worst news is palatable. When I feel loved, even the worst news is palatable. During my family quarantine, for example, I felt more love for each of my family as I could watch and appreciate each of them in new and special ways. Was it what I wanted? No. But there was a different meaning for me in these family days. Though at a distance, I felt more connected to my family. Maybe that's what prayer from God's side is like, a more loving connection to those around us and the world in which we live. Maybe it's about revisions of how we understand life and the purpose of our own lives. Maybe it's a time to redefine what meaning is all about for us as a human being. Friends, I think God is waiting for each of us to true our lives physically, emotionally, spiritually, to trust the relationships that God has put around us, that they can be meaningful and purposeful, and that justice and mercy will always be victorious, and that grace and love can be felt no matter what is happening in our lives. As long as our lives are as true as they can be, and as long as our lives are connected intimately with God. So, that's how I'm reading this schematic. And until I come back, which will probably be a long, long time, I'm sticking with it. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.